All right, welcome once again to the Weird for Good online workshop and hangout. I want to welcome you all back again today. And this is our number 15 hangout, and it's a very interesting one. I hope you're ready to see something cool. Melissa Ford is here with me today, my good friend Melissa. Welcome back.
Thanks, Jaron. Hi.
Glad to have you here. If you haven't been with us before, Melissa is a coach, and you can find her at empoweredcoachingsolutions.com, which is a lot more than just a coach, but you'll see that here in this video. empoweredcoachingsolutions.com is where you can see her, and of course find my writing and podcasts and stuff at weirdforgood.com. So Melissa, this is a unique thing. We talked just for a moment briefly before we got started here. I wrote a blog this week that had a couple of very important people in my life in it. One of them was Wayne Dyer, and one of them was you. So those were the two main characters that were part of this actually very true story. And so we'll see how this unfolds. I entitled the writing "Happiness Is," and I left that blank, hoping to entice someone to find out what I was going to talk about there. So the writing started out talking about stories and how I like stories and I love seeing stories. But we're gonna find out a lot more about what that word really means in this hangout. So when I say stories, I think you have a different perspective on what that word is than maybe like a bedtime story or something like that.
Right. What do you mean?
Well, you know, when I started out with the writing, I was talking about, you know, kind of like the hero's journey as a story, or kind of like meeting Wayne Dyer last weekend in person was all about kind of hearing his personal story of how he went from kind of a struggling, you know, guy in his early 30s and then became a world-renowned author and has changed people's lives. So kind of these sort of, I guess, stories about transformation really is what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I began with the word story itself. But then when I was at the conference, which was a Hay House conference called Writing From Your Soul, there was about 500 attendees there to see Wayne Dyer speak for the weekend. And I had another definition of that word stories come up that weekend for me, and that was a BS story or bullshit story that I happened to notice was so prevalent in the questions being asked by the audience to the you know, Mr. Dyer himself. So I kind of gave you there. I kind of led us right into to the meat of it there. But stories is kind of the starting point. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've looked at happiness and coached people on happiness probably for about 18 years, and then all of a sudden I headed off in another direction. And where I'm finding myself is that we can really transform and we can really have great stories that we tell about our lives if we're willing to be honest with ourselves and tell ourselves the truth of our own stories, our own BS stories. And we all have them, you know? And it's really difficult to see your own. You can see all the people who are standing up there wanting to ask Wayne Dyer a question. You can see their stories, but it's really difficult to see your own, which is one of the reasons I have a coach. And I happen to have a coach who's an expert at telling me things like, you know, Melissa, that's a bunch of crap, or that's total BS, or you know what, I don't agree with that. That's just another story that you're telling yourself. Sorry about the phone.
No, that's okay. And I am getting a little bit of scratchiness that I'm hearing. I don't know if other people are, but okay. Is the microphone possibly...
Maybe I'm too far from it. I'm going to switch a little bit, and I'm going to switch to someplace else, and then you tell me if this helps. Hang on one second.
Okay, I hope everybody can hear well what you're saying, because It's really good. So.
Okay, so we'll try this. Tell me if this is better. I'm maybe in a different part of my house. So what I've been discovering for myself is that I limit myself in so many ways by the stories that I tell myself. There are stories such as, you know, I can't do this, or I don't have time for that, or I'm too old for this, or if only I had more money, or, you know, when I finally have it all figured out. I think I was talking about this last week, and these are stories. And I really thought that they were truths. I mean, in a sense, they're truths because I have the power to believe. And once I believe a story, it's now true for me. But the reality is that it's just something I'm telling myself to keep myself from really changing and really growing and pushing outside of my comfort zone. And the whole purpose is self-preservation. It's for safety, it's for love, it's for all of that. It's to keep me safe. And we're really good at it, and we're so good at it that when we tell stories like that, we can't even see it.
Yeah, before we got online together, I was kind of writing down some other words for stories in this sense. So in case you're not up to speed with us, what we're saying is, as we go through our lives, if I say I want something out here, or I say I don't want something, we are going to develop a story around this that that can become true for us. And instead of the word stories, you could insert things like, here's a reason, or here's the situation that I'm in, or here's the circumstances, or people won't let me do things that I want to do.
Right.
Or my past stops me from doing something that I would like to do. Or the future, I want to plan for this, so therefore I can't have this. Rules won't allow me to do what I want to do.
Yeah. I don't have the right connections.
Sure, yeah, and you were saying some of these things just a moment ago, too. But basically, like you said, we're avoiding that that commitment point. We're avoiding that choice that we can make to go all in for something. But it sounds so much better, and it sounds so much smarter when we tell it to ourselves. Like, well, you know, I don't have kids, but you can certainly hear people saying, well, I have kids, so therefore I can't this, or... you know, a lot of things like that just, well, you can knock those out of people's reality fairly well. I know this personally, as I shared in the blog.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a firm believer in, I'd much rather be called on my story or my excuse or my crap or my reasonable justification, because if I'm called on it, I mean, if it's brought to my attention, and not as a way, not in a way so that I judge myself or I feel bad about what I've done or the fact that I've just told myself a lie, but really just so I can see it. If I can see my story, then now what happens is I have the ability to tell myself something else, tell myself the truth. And if I tell myself the truth, then I'm no longer building on a foundation that's a bunch of lies. So for instance, I was talking to a woman today, I was coaching a woman today, and she said I could tell this story because I think it's pretty cool. And she was talking about that she just really didn't know how to get peace in her life. She didn't know how to relax, she didn't know how to get peace in her life. And she's a person who works a lot, has a very high-paying job, wishes sometimes the job wasn't so high-paying because she'd quit because she doesn't want to be in it. And she ended up saying, we talked about the fact that she didn't know how. And I said to her, you do know how. And she said, no, I really don't know how, because if I knew how, I'd do it. I said, you do know how. It's just, do you want to? And she went, no. Because if I have more peace and I relax, then I'm going to think, I'm going to have more thoughts about why I don't want to go to work. So my life's going to be worse. So we explored that further, and what happened for her was once she told herself that she really didn't want peace because she was afraid then that she would have all these thoughts about work and it would be even worse, she realized she could do something different. She could literally turn it off if she wanted to. She could turn off her thoughts about work. She had that ability to do that. So it wasn't the piece that was going to bring the thoughts. It was her choice to have the thoughts or not. And what I loved about it was throughout this whole session, she kept getting caught in these stories. And I would say, can I tell you what I see? And she said, yeah. And I said, that's just a bunch of crap. That's not true. And then she would start laughing, because the problem is we tell ourselves a story and then we keep building on it. And then that becomes our reality. We are the victims of the fact we don't have enough money. We are the victims of the fact that our children keep us back, or our spouse doesn't support us, or, you know, we're not young anymore, or we're not old enough, or whatever we come up with. We're not competent. We're not capable. We don't know how.
Well, and so this is just kind of coming up for me as you're talking. A story can also be called a lie.
Yep.
Because it's not 100% true. It won't stand up to the question, is this 100% true? And in that case, when we make one lie and stick with it, then we start to have to kind of make other lies to make that lie work out.
Right. And the whole time we're doing it, we think it's the truth. That's the problem. Like, if we knew we were lying, well, then we might go, you know, I don't want to lie anymore. But what we're trying to do is we're just trying to keep ourselves safe. We're just trying to, so for instance, if I say that I want to work with a particular person, let's say this person has a business and I think that I can help them. And then I say to myself, well, you know what? I've never really worked with anybody in that industry, so I probably can't do that. That's a lie. You know, in coaching, I don't need to be an expert in that business. I'm telling myself that because I'm afraid that if I reach out, I might be told no, or I may not even be, the person may not even respond to me. So what I want to do is I want to, if I can recognize when I'm telling myself stories to protect myself, then I can just get out of my own way. And it just takes practice. It takes enough practice where you're seeing it in other people, where you notice it in yourself, where you're working with somebody and they tell it to you, and it's the most freeing thing, particularly if you don't judge yourself. Do not judge yourself, because we all do it. We're just trying to be okay. We're just trying to play really small and be okay, because if we don't tell ourselves these stories, then we're going to have to really put ourselves out there, and it's incredibly uncomfortable.
Wow, yeah, that's beautiful. We are playing small. To kind of go back to the writing a little bit, and to fill in for those that didn't read, I saw a line of people at this conference, at the Writing for Your Soul conference. They would get up, and Wayne has been talking all weekend about everything that you must do in order to become, a success in writing. And he's talking about writing tons and tons of books. He's talking about doing everything. We talked about it here last week, with even buying his own first three printings of his book. And so he's basically saying, I did everything within my power, everything possible. I did not let anything stop me. And then the line of people get up, and so a question would be like, well, I want to write children's books, but the publishing world only accepts children's books at 750 words. Mine is 1,200 words. So therefore, I'm stuck and I'm screwed. Someone else had, I can't remember it, but it was a lot of stories like that where, you know, basically it was so easy to see from the outside. And not only, you said a minute ago, don't judge yourself. I mean, I was basically sitting there judging these folks who were actually, they had the guts to get up and actually ask the question. And I'm sitting in the back in the audience, kind of the peanut gallery, going like, come on, haven't you been listening to him? Can't you tell that, you know, the answer to this is just what he talked about for the last hour? And so it's so clear from the outside. I mean, it is so clear. And so that leads us into the meat, and why I know at least a couple people are watching this here today, because they've been kind of keeping track of my blog and you and I and working together. And so something else I shared is probably something that I hope other coaches or other maybe possible clients could see. I will put myself on the examining table for analysis, so that other people could learn. And if you don't mind, Melissa, feel free to grill me. But you and I have been working towards a goal for a while now of working together. And as I wrote in the blog, I mean, this was something that I could see clearly in my mind that I was going for, I wanted, we had plans in place. And then I started sketching out and freaking out midweek last week. And so I was right in the middle of one of those stories that I was judging the Wayne Dyer fans for having, and you straight out called me out on it. Well, I won't say straight out. You led me down the path gently towards my story being exposed. And that in itself was so kind and so generous as I'm squirming and just being not the bold me that I want to be. Feel free to kind of develop this story a little bit for the readers and maybe for anyone else who's ever been in this situation before or, could be in this situation.
Okay, well, I just want to ask you, you said it was so kind and generous to lead you down this particular path to say, hey, Aaron, is it that you don't have money or you don't have money for coaching, right? Why was that kind and generous? What did that do for you?
I think, here's how the layout of things went was we kind of had a deadline, and I was sort of having some moments. These stories were sort of spiking right at the same time as this deadline. So I reached out to you by email, and I said, we need to talk. I'm looking for a renegotiation here. What are my possibilities? And so when you got on the phone with me, you first of all said something to the effect that all pressure's off right now. That was big because all I felt was pressure, right? Like, I felt internal pressure, I felt external, the story is that I felt external pressure from other things that were going on, and I, of course, I wanted this thing, and I didn't want to let you down, so I felt like I was in the pressure cooker, when we got on the phone.
Right.
And you said pressure's off. That was huge. So that was kindness right off the bat. Now, I don't know if you knew my internal, barometer at that point was so high, but maybe you did. You could tell your side of that.
Yeah, actually, I didn't know where you were at, but I knew that you were telling yourself stories, because that's usually what happens when we really push ourselves outside of our comfort zone, or even just a little bit, where we say, I'm going to buy this new car, or I'm going to go on this trip, or I'm going to do something, invest in myself with coaching, or whatever I might do, we can start to get ourselves uncomfortable. You know how they talk about buyer's remorse? Well, really what's going on is we're uncomfortable with our choice, and now what we're doing is we're starting to create stories to get ourselves to back off. And so I pretty much figured that's what was happening for you, because you're a smart man. You would not agree to something that was not financially feasible for you. I mean, it might have been a stretch for you, and you might have had to shift money around and do things, but you wouldn't have agreed to something unless you really had the ability to do it. So that I did know about you. And the pressure thing off is, something I learned from Steve Chandler, which I think is really great, is he said, you're not here, Melissa, to make people's lives harder. You're here to make a difference. And I really like that, because it reminds me, when people do make a decision to do something, it's not just the choice, but then they have to act. So in this particular case, you made the decision, but you still hadn't followed through with the act, which was, here's the deposit, this is what we're going to do, we're going to move forward. And so I knew that there was a hangback for you. Something was going on. And when we do make these decisions, it's really easy to start telling ourselves things to get ourselves to back off. And in those cases, what you can really do is say to myself, am I really willing to do what it's going to take? And if I am, great, let's go. And if I'm not, just say I'm not willing to do it. And to me, that's the biggest gift, because then you can go back into your life and you know the truth of things. I know the truth of things, and it's fine. You know, it's just you're not at this point where you're willing to do it.
Yeah. So okay. So that's awesome. I want to flesh that out a little bit here too, seeing it from both sides, because before you showed me this exact sentence called "I'm not really willing to do everything it takes." Okay. So right before that, my side looks much different. My side looks like, okay. So what would it have been exactly like? Well, we kind of had a stepped agreement. Like there was going to be this amount and then this amount and then this amount. So I was kind of first looking at the first amount. So I was kind of like, okay, well, I'm not all the way there, and I don't know if I can make the rest of it. And now I'm talking to my wife, and there's other things that's kind of going on. Oh, and in the midst of this, my wife gets a job. where she's been running a restaurant since I've been with her, and now she's going to be a school teacher, and now I'm going to be running a restaurant, stepping into her place. So I want to let other people see what I would have called the reasons in that moment, right? So that's like, well, okay, since I made this first agreement, now my life's all shifting and changing, and now money may be needed for other things that we didn't know when I first made the agreement. So this all sounds pretty solid, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. It's not like, I decided to invest in a three-wheeled, contraption to ride in parades or something. I don't know. I'm just making things up, But it's almost just as inconsequential as that when you put it up against, are you willing to do, can you make it happen, or can you not make it happen for this?
Yeah.
And when you showed me that, that really cracked all those things and crumbled all those reasons. Because for all those reasons, those stories, those lies that I had in myself, the money's I would have to take it from retirement accounts and different things like that. All those things had a flip side that was just as good as it did seem bad. I mean, if I'm doing a new job venture, would I want to coach during that? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If spending some money out of my retirement can help me make a lot more money because I've got a coach to help me do it, why wouldn't you invest some in order to make a lot more, right?
Right.
So all those stories have a flip side that is just as much of a made-up idea as the first one. I mean, you really walked me through that in such a sensitive way that I know from my level of coaching experience, when I've been dealing with other clients, I want that gracefulness that you had, because I think I hope you would be willing to share too from your side. If you have a client who you kind of thought you were at one point and then they're getting sketchy, maybe you can say, well, it's a good thing I'm not ready to work with that person right now anyway.
Yeah. I don't always handle these things gracefully, first of all. I don't. But I can have compassion if I can recall when I've done it myself, right? So I have to remember about myself that I like to lie like the next guy. I like to come up with crap to protect myself. So if I remember that, which I pretty much can, then I can have compassion for other people. So it's not a matter of people shouldn't do this, but really the biggest gift you can give somebody is to call them on it, and let them know that really what it comes down to is it has nothing to do whether or not you want this. It's just, are you willing to do whatever it takes and get uncomfortable? That's basically it. Nothing more. And if you can say, no, I'm not, there's your answer.
Yeah, so, okay, so in the writing, I don't want to do all this exclamation point talking like I did in the writing, but right when I answered that question that you just posed, when I had to say out loud, I am not willing right at this moment to do this thing. I'm not willing enough to follow through with what I said I was going to do. And I don't want it bad enough. I mean, that like busted open something in me, you know. That let all these little things that I didn't realize I was holding on to come out and spill out all over. Like, you know, I'm not the guy who can't do what he wants to do. Look at all these things I've done. You know, I paid off my debt. I've driven across the U.S. I've quit drinking. I've done all these things. And it's like, I didn't realize even that I was holding on to all these little pieces of, you know, I don't know what you call that, but it was like identity, I guess. I thought I was sort of shifting and evolving out of my identity, I guess, because I used to be so much in my old life about, like, my identity is, okay, this is what I drink. This is what I, you know, these are the trips I take. This is the things I do all the time, was so much built this identity that I thought I was sort of shifting out of that since I had tossed those things away. Mm-hmm. But I'd sort of just replaced them with other things. And I think we do need, in order to serve other people well, as you can do, and the best coaches in the world do, is it's about what you're capable of, but I think it's about the flexibility, and it's about that release of your identity so that you can help fit in the situation and help pop something out for someone else, no matter kind of what's going on. Am I making sense there?
I think so. So are you saying then that this is a constant thing that goes on, that you're never finished with it?
Yeah, I would think that we're always in that mode of improvement, but I didn't realize until that moment that I had been holding on to these identity pieces, these new version of identity pieces, so much. Because that's kind of what really irked me about finding out this truth about myself, that I didn't want it bad enough, okay? That's what made it sting, you know? That was the sting of the truth, was like, if you don't want this bad enough, I'm like, well, that's bull crap, because I get everything I want because I go after it and I do it, including A through Z, right?
Wow, okay. Yeah.
So that made it kind of more powerful for me, even, that the truth was there, that I had to look myself in the mirror and say, even though I can do A through Z or have shown that to be true for me right now, it's like this thing right now doesn't fit into that category. When I thought, you know, I thought it was about all these reasons, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was about
mm-hmm.
the stories, and it really wasn't about that. It was just, when I want something, I'm proving that I can get it done.
Right. Which is really great, because in this instance, you're proving the same truth. You just didn't want it. So you're proving the other side of it, which is good, because you are a person. If you want something, you're going to go make it happen, and that's great to know. And so you have to be able to have the other side be true, which is when you don't want something, then you don't make it happen. So it's better to know that you didn't want it, and you weren't going to make it happen.
Yeah, so
right?
So that it is better. And it's also what I've blogged about a few times, and some people will know this movie reference, but it's Morpheus in The Matrix with the blue pill and the red pill. Mm. It's like, on one hand, you know, do you want to know the truth? Do you want
right.
to find out and go down the rabbit hole? Because if I believe what you told me, which is I didn't want it bad enough, and therefore I didn't go after it, and therefore I don't have it right now, then that means, and this is what I hope everybody's awake to in this conversation, then that means that everything I don't have in my life could run through the same filter of I haven't really wanted it bad enough.
Absolutely.
Now, yeah. So you just said absolutely. Now, and then, of course, you get the naysayers. You say, well, what if I wanted to be an NFL lineman? You know,
mm-hmm.
I guess I didn't want that bad enough. But I'm not, you know, 6'5 and 300 pounds or whatever. But I think there's so much truth in that. And we try to, and that's just another story that we can get hung up on to try to toss this major idea away, that the things I don't have because I don't really want them that bad enough. Not because I can't have them, not because it's the rules, and not because there's circumstances or people in my way or any of that stuff.
Right, right. So, you know, the person who says, I want to be the NFL player, but I'm not 6'3 and 300 pounds or whatever, first of all, do you really want to be the NFL player? Do you really want that? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are you willing to get out there and bust your butt and do everything that you have to do? And then when you fail, are you willing to get up again and do it again? And if fail and do it again and do it again, are you willing to do it? If you're willing to do that, then go for it. There are people who say, who was that? Nate Robinson, who's the he's a guard for the Bulls. He's the third string, right? He's out there playing because D. Rose is hurt, and so is, who's the next guy up? The next guy's hurt, right? The guy's like 5'8". How about Muggsy Bowes, right? I mean, these are all athletes, but the point is that they shouldn't be in the positions that they are because they're not made for it, but they want it, and they've done everything that it takes. So, you know, it's kind of like, do I want to be an opera singer? No. So I could say, well, I could try to be an opera singer, and I'm going to take all the lessons, but, you know, is it something that I really want? And if it is, you just keep going for it, and you don't give up on it. You just don't give up on it. So that's really what it comes down to. I don't know if I said in this last time that you and I did this hangout, but worked with a woman, and she said, I'll come back in 3 months. I'm just not ready. I don't have the money. I'll be back in 3 months. And I said to her, no, you're not going to be back in 3 months. You just don't want to do this. She said, but I do want this. I really want this. I said, no, you don't want to do it. She goes, I do. And I said, no, you're just not willing to do whatever it's going to take and get uncomfortable. See, I've been down this path before. And she said, is that true? Is that true? She goes, that couldn't be true. I really want this. I said, it has nothing to do with your wanting. It has to do with your willingness. And the next day I get an email and it says, you're right. So again, this isn't about, oh yeah, so Melissa's right, that's great. It's just tell yourself really the reason. Tell yourself the truth. And then you can get on with your life and keep transforming and keep changing and keep growing yourself in the ways that you want. You don't get yourself hung up on stuff that's not so.
Yeah, hung up on stuff that's not so. Wow.
What a quote.
What a quote. Man, I mean, that's Byron Katie, and that's a lot of that. I mean, so much of those things that I think we're getting more awake to all the time.
Yeah.
And I know my friend Molly Fior always uses the not so terminology. I love that. What is so for you? What's not so? So the end of the writing kind of pointed to something. Now, I don't know if you caught that Barry, now, you do I have it right or wrong that you have a history with Barry Kaufman?
Yeah, I went out to the Option Institute years ago, back in the early 90s, actually in the 90s pretty much, and did a bunch of different programs at the Option Institute.
Awesome. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. So I had this book, and I should have it sitting here so I could put it up, or maybe I had before. But, you know, we got off the phone together last Wednesday night, and I looked at the cover of that book called Happiness is a Choice. Mm-hmm. And when I first read that and had been reading it, I'm thinking, okay, well, happiness is a choice, meaning, like, if I choose to be happy, then I'll be happy. But after we had this conversation, it really, that title broke into two pieces for me. And it was like, happiness is. And I don't know where I got this. Maybe you can recall a time when there was, I don't know, maybe stickers or somewhere it was like this whole thing about happiness is. And maybe it was like, happiness is a warm pair of slippers or...
Yeah, it was some cartoon, I think.
Okay, so yeah, so there you go. It was some cartoon, something I remembered from early childhood. And I read it in that way, saying happiness is a choice. So,
cool.
What you showed me in that conversation, and is true throughout until today, is that the happiness comes from the choosing. Because here's what you laid out for me. I thought that I had made this. I had made my bed and I have to lie in it, right? Like, I had made this commitment and now I'm failing. And so failures suck. And it's and I'm a bad person and all the junk that goes with that. And you really relayed it out for me. When you look at the truth, I must not want it bad enough right now because that is what is happening. That is the reality that I haven't followed through this action. So I say to myself in the mirror, that is true at this moment. Then comes the choice. The choice comes, choose yes, choose no, choose something for, choose to choose later, whatever it is, but consciously don't feel, don't, be awake to the fact that you're not pushed into this beat up because of the circumstances. The choice is still in front of you. And all of a sudden, when I was able to choose later, it was like, wow, I could breathe again. You know, I could physically, I physically felt better all over when I saw that I had a choice in front of me. Yeah. It wasn't like a train pushing me off the end of the tracks into the canyon of, you know, whatever, depression or upset or whatever, to where only time would heal it. It's like I had that choice in front of me. Mm-hmm. You really showed me that. And so I wanted what your thoughts were on the happiness is actually making that choice.
Yeah, this is what I know. So this is my spin on it. I've noticed in my own life and the people that I work with that when we strip ourselves of choice, we can't be happy. So when we strip ourselves of the ability to choose differently, have a choice, we're no longer empowered. So you'll hear people all the time say, you know, I really have to go to the store, or I really need to do this, or I should do this, or I have to do this. And anytime you hear need to, should, have to, must, ought to, those are words that strip us of choice. And when we don't have choice, it's impossible to be happy. Mm. So
let's put that in some quotes here too. When we don't have choice, it's impossible to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how often do we sort of hang on that? That's now we've come full circle back to the story. We relish in telling the story of why we have to do something a certain way.
Right.
We relish in that. We want to share that with our friends. You know, that's what a lot of friendships are based on. You tell me mm-hmm. your story of why you have to do something, and I tell you my story of why I have to do something. And we find a little happiness in the sharing of that.
Right.
That plight. To
right.
each other.
But what we end up with is unhappiness in all of its forms, anger, bitterness, depression, self-judgment, feeling bad, all that stuff. We end up there feeling like failures. And then we also end up limiting ourselves. That's what we do. And so we walk around and we're limited and we play small because we don't have a choice. You know, I can't coach that person because I've never worked in a nonprofit, or I can't do this, or I can't have that, or I don't know how to, or I. So we say these things, and then we limit ourselves, and we don't have any choice. We just cut ourselves off again.
Yeah. So, from your perspective and your experience with this, and we'll wrap up here pretty quick, maybe on this note, but. If happiness is in, or happiness is more available when we see the choices, what is a trick that you can use, or is it just the practice of it, that you see choice more often than not now in your personal development?
Having the experience of being called on my crap, going through that, a lot. That has gotten me to this place where when I start to feel like I'm limited, or when I start to feel like I don't have a choice, I'll stop and I'll say to myself, what am I telling myself that's not true? And then I'll notice it. And it could even be something like, maybe I don't know how to. Okay, wait a second. Right there, I'm telling myself a lie. Because all I have to do is take some action. It doesn't matter if I succeed or fail. But I do know how. See, I just took this piece of action. I've just done this thing. So anytime I feel myself limiting myself or I feel myself feeling uncomfortable, then I start to ask myself, what am I telling myself? What are the things that I'm telling myself? And I've started to recognize them sooner rather than later. Some I still get stuck in, and then I'll have somebody call me out on it. How about you? What do you do?
Well, you know, I guess my evolution is still changing. You know, it kind of went through a period where I was able to throw out an old overall set of beliefs, I think. I was able to kind of say, all the things I used to believe don't have to be true. So now I realize that there are new things that I could plug in there. But even what you've just been showing me so recently, so this is really fresh, but it's like more of what we talked about in the sailing, you know, scenario. It's not necessarily that there's a right way and a wrong way to think or something like that, but it's like, am I willing to be open to making adjustments in the moment and really asking myself that, you know, well, I think Michael Neal said it one day, a simple quote that changed his life was like, that I've been using lately, it's like, I don't have to think that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, how those are pretty easy words, right?
Yeah.
Nothing fancy about that.
Yeah, I don't have to believe that thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, say recently I think somebody's mad or in a conversation or something, I'm like, I don't have to think that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no gun to my head making me think that. So
yeah,
that actually pops it loose right there.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that I fixed it, but it does mean that I can have more wiggle room in that moment to be more open and to get a little further down the road before maybe I make a mistake in my words or whatever.
Yeah, I love that about Michael Neal. You know, I love the idea that we have thoughts, and then we have the power to believe our thoughts. And just because we have a thought doesn't mean we have to believe it. It's up to us. And that's the same thing with these stories we tell ourselves. So once we decide it's a story, then we still have the power to believe it or not to believe it. And if we choose not to believe it, now we've just set ourselves free. Because now we're really living in the truth of something. There's a lot more comfort in that. There's a lot more potential, you know.
It is. There's potential, there's choice, there's movement, and I will say, just so no one gets this confused, there's days where I just feel out of choices, you know? Mm-hmm. There's days where I feel stuck and screwed or whatever, but I know that through all this work and working with people like you, especially working with a coach, not just a cohort or a coworker or someone else in your life, but someone who's trained and who shows up in order to be that that productive mirror for you,
right.
In that position, that is huge. I mean, you said it in one of our communications that this type of work can make you grow, feel like you grew 5 years in one. And the coaching work that I have done as a coachee has monumentally moved my thinking around and my ability to do that. And so I think that's one of the best ways. And that's not just a commercial for coaching, but
I agree. I did not realize the power of it until I was coached. Even though I was coaching people, I didn't realize what it was like. Because when you are in this relationship, you show up very open and available to change. That's what's so great about it. You show up that way. You show up ready to move. And that's 3/4 of it right there. And so, you know, I love what you said. You said, so I feel stuck or screwed. When I feel stuck or screwed, or I'm thinking, I can't do this. This is not going to work. That's when I know I'm telling myself a story. So when you're feeling stuck or limited or screwed or like things aren't possible, you're telling yourself a story. And what you can do is start to tell yourself, what is it that I'm telling myself?
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe just kind of a final, I know I could probably go on all day about this, because it's been so powerful for me lately. The options that you showed me, it doesn't mean that you just have to make every one of these little things work out. Like, okay, if I say I can't build a coaching client, coaching business, six-figure coaching business in the next 6 months, okay, it doesn't have to be that I always have to dig deeper and make every one of those wishes come true through all means possible. It could mean that I give myself forgiveness and say, I am telling myself the truth that I'm not really willing to do what that would take right now. And then instead of being sad about a loss of a potential goal, I can be happy that I'm pretty good where I'm at right now. Like, I sort of can get happier in my current moment and lose the stress of trying to grab out and reach out to that thing that I'm really not there for.
Right. Right. That's absolutely true. It's like what you said in your blog. It's like trying to grab between two ladders, right? And yeah, it does. It that's just, you know, that saying, the truth will set you free. I mean, that's a great example of how it will.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you are a truth shower on all levels. And you know, I'm sure it was a totally different situation, but even Wayne Dyer up there, you know, with all his wisdom and everything else, had a line of people walking up to tell them stories and still kindly showed, you know, the way, whether they were open to seeing it or not. And so the way is out there, and we need these kind of people around us to kind of, you know, interject something, because Steve Chandler says it all the time too, is in the AA meetings that he used to go to, that on the wall it said, your best thinking got you here.
Yeah.
And my best thinking got me right here to this point. So maybe I want someone else's thinking to kind of mix in with mine and fertilize that a little bit. So.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I really just want to say is that anytime you do find your story, just be kind to yourself. That's all. Just be kind to yourself.
Be kind to ourselves. And we can't be happy if we don't have choices, if we can't see some choices. So
yeah.
The kind way is to always show yourself that it's okay to stop where you're at or to regroup or to kind of be nice to yourself for a little while, and then the options open back up. So,
absolutely, absolutely. There's this cool phrase, and actually comes from Barry Kaufman from the Option Institute, and it goes like this: decisions aren't like one-way streets; you can always turn around in the middle.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, it's great. It's great.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Melissa, for more than just this hangout. I know some people got some good stuff out of this today, and I just can't thank you enough for being who you are. So
thanks,
I appreciate
Aaron.
You.
I feel the same, and it's, you know, going through this experience with you has helped me. It's helped me a ton. So I appreciate being here to be able to talk about it.
Well, and feel free to forward this video on to anybody you think it may help, because.
All right.
Anyway, you rock. So we'll talk again soon.
All right. Take care.